Try to get it into your thick, brainless heads. I cannot keep my balance indefinitely.
You must. How can I help?
Water, said Louis, with a tongue like 2 yards of flannel rolled up.
Are you thirsty? But how can I get water to you? If you turn your head, you may lose your balance.
I know. Forget it. Louis shuddered. Strange that Louis Wu, the spacer, should be so afraid of heights. House Speaker.
I fear for him, Louis. He has been unconscious for uncomfortably long.
Tange, tange.
Footsteps.
She must have a mania for changing clothes, Louis thought. What she wore now was all overlapping pleats in orange and green. Like previous garments, it showed nothing at all of her shape. She knelt at the edge of the observation platform, coolly watching them. Louis clutched his metal raft and waited for developments. He saw her soften. Her eyes went dreamy. The corners of her small mouth turned up. Nessus spoke. She seemed to consider. She said something that might have been an answer. Then she left them. Well?
We shall see.
I get so sick of waiting. Suddenly, the puppeteer's fly cycle was floating upward. Up and forward. It bumped against the edge of the observation platform like a rowboat making dock. Nessus stepped daintily ashore. The girl came to greet him. What she held in her left hand had to be a weapon. But with her other hand, she touched the puppeteer's head, hesitated, then ran her fingernails down his secondary spine. Nessus made a sound of delight. She turned and walked upstairs. Not once did she glance back. She seemed to assume that Nessus would follow like a dog, and he did. Good, thought Louis. Be subservient. Make her trust you. But when the oddly matched sounds of their footsteps faded away, the cell block became a tremendous tomb. Speaker was 30 feet away across the Sargasso Sea of metal. 4 padded black fingers and a puff of orange face showed around the green crash balloons. Louis had no way of getting near. The Kazin might be dead already. Among the white bones below were at least 12 skulls. Bones and age and rusted metal and silence. Louis Wu clung to his cycle and waited for his strength to give out. He was dozing, not many minutes later, when something changed. His balance shifted. Louis's life depended on his balance. The momentary disorientation sent him into a rigid panic. He looked wildly about him, moving only his eyes. The metal vehicles were all around him, motionless. But something was moving. A distant car bumped, screeched like tearing metal, and went up.
Huh?
No, it had grounded against the upper ring of cells. The whole Sargasso was sinking uniformly through space. One by one, noisily, the cars and flying packs docked and were left behind. Louis' cycle smacked jarringly into concrete, turned half round in the turbulence of the electromagnetic forces, and toppled. Louis let go and rolled clear. Immediately he was trying to get to his feet, but he couldn't get his balance. He couldn't stay upright. His hands were claws, contorted with pain, useless. He lay panting on his side, thinking that it must already be too late. Speaker's fly cycle must have landed on Speaker. Speaker's fly cycle, easily recognizable, lay on its side, 2 tiers up. Speaker was there, and he wasn't under the cycle. He must have been under it before the cycle fell on its side, but even then the balloons would have protected him to some extent. Louis reached him by crawling. The Kazin was alive and breathing, but unconscious. The weight of the fly cycle had not broken his neck, possibly because he didn't really have a neck. Louis clawed the flashlight laser from his belt, used its green needle beam to free Speaker from his balloons. Now what? Louis remembered that he was dying of thirst. His head seemed to have stopped spinning. He stood, wobbly-legged, to look for the only functional water source he knew. The cell block was all concentric circular ledges, each ledge the roof of a ring of cell blocks. Speaker had grounded on the 4th ring from the center. Louis found one cycle with tattered crash balloon fabric draped across it. There was another, 1 tier down and across the central pit, equipped with a human-style saddle. The third, Nessus's cycle had grounded 1 tier below Speaker's.
Louis went down to it. His feet jarred him as they hit the steps. His muscles were too tired to absorb the shock. He shook his head at the sight of the dashboard. Nobody would be stealing Nessus's fly cycle. The controls were incredibly cryptic. But he did identify the water spout. The water was warm, tasteless as distilled water, and utterly delicious. When Louis had quenched his thirst, he tried a brick from the kitchen slot. It tasted very strange. Louis decided not to eat it yet. There might be additives deadly to human metabolism. Nessus would know. He carried water to speaker in his shoe, the first container he thought of. He dribbled it into the Kazin's mouth, and the Kazin swallowed it in his sleep and smiled. Louis went back for another load and ran out of stamina before he could reach the puppeteer's fly cycle. So he curled up on the flat construction plastic and closed his eyes. Safe. He was safe. He should have been asleep instantly the way he felt, but something nagged at him. Abused muscles, cramps in hands and thighs, the fear of falling that would not let him go even now, and something more. He sat up. "No justice," he mumbled. "Speaker?" The Kazin was sleeping curled around himself, with his ears tight to his head and his slaver weapon hugged tight to his belly, so that only the double snout showed. His breathing was regular but very fast. Was that good? Nessus would know. Meanwhile, let him sleep. "No justice," Louis repeated under his breath. He was alone and lonely, without the advantage of being on sabbatical. He was responsible for the well-being of others. His own life and health depended on how well Nessus gulled the crazy, half-bald woman who was keeping them prisoner. Small wonder if he couldn't sleep. Still, his eyes found it and locked. His own fly cycle. His own fly cycle with the broken crash balloons trailing, and Nessus's fly cycle here beside him, and Speaker's fly cycle beside Speaker, and the fly cycle with the human-shaped saddle and no crash balloons. Four fly cycles. Frantic for water, he'd missed the implications the first time round. Now, Teela's fly cycle. It must have been behind one of the bigger vehicles. And no crash balloons. No crash balloons. She must have fallen off when the cycle turned over. Or been torn away when the sonic fold failed at Mach 2. What was it Nessus had said? "Her luck is clearly undependable." And Speaker. If her luck had failed her just once, she would be dead. She was dead. She must be. "I came with you because I love you." "Bad luck," said Louis Wu. "Bad luck you met me." He curled up on the concrete and slept. Much later, he woke with a jolt to find Speaker to Animals looking down into his face. The lurid orange fur mask made his eyes doubly prominent, and there was a wistful look. Speaker asked, "Can you eat the Leaf Eater's food?" "I'm afraid to try," said Louis. The vast, echoing cavity of his belly suddenly made all his other problems trivial, except one. "I think that of the three of us, I alone have no food supply," said the Kazin. That wistful look. The hair stood up on Louis's neck. In a steady voice, he said, "You know you have a food supply. The question is, will you use it?"
"Certainly not, Louis. If honor requires me to starve within reach of meat, then I will starve."
"Good." Louis turned over and pretended to go back to sleep. And when he woke up some hours later, he knew that he had been asleep. His hind brain, he decided, must trust Speaker's word completely. If the Kazin said he would starve, he would starve. His bladder was full, and there was a stink in his nostrils, and his muscles ached obtrusively. The pit solved one problem, and the puppeteer's fly cycle supplied water to wash the muck off his sleeve. Then Louis limped down a flight of steps to reach his own fly cycle and first aid kit. But the kit was not a simple box of medicines. It mixed dosages on command and made its own diagnoses. A complex machine, and the zap guns had burnt it out. The light was fading.
Cells with trapdoors over them, and small transparent panes around the trapdoors. Louis dropped to his belly to look into a cell. Bed, peculiar-looking toilet, and daylight coming through a picture window.